So I'm going to be holding on to this microphone tonight. I forgot to put my other microphone on, and it's okay. I don't need it. I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. The book of Philippians, Paul writing to the church there at Philippi. I love the book of Philippians because of how that Paul opens up this particular book. Because Paul encourages them. I try to be an encourager to people. I don't know if you've ever felt that or not, but I try to encourage people. When Paul began to write this letter to the church there at Philippi, he wrote this according to the introductory in chapter number 1 to the saints, to the servants, to the bishops, to the deacons. And he pronounced grace upon them. Grace be unto you. Peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul reminded them again in verse number 3 of chapter 1. He said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. How many of you like to know that you're remembered? Paul wrote that letter to them, and Paul said, I remember you. So he's writing this to encourage them. And then he comes back in verse number 4. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy. And then he says in verse 5 and 6, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, and he says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Now that's an introductory to where I want to go. In the book of Philippians chapter number 3 is what you're looking for in verse number 7. Paul picks up there, and again, Paul was writing these words. Now, again, let me kindly walk into this afternoon. Paul was saying, but what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ. And then he says in verse number 9, to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse number 10 is where we're going to take our main thought this afternoon for just a little bit. Let me tell you a few things before I read this verse of scripture. I know that when we were going through our intern program, and we started into that program way, way, way back in the day, we were given a book to read, about 26 books we had to read for that 9-month program. One of the books that I was given at that time to read was called The Shorter Life of Christ. The Shorter Life of Christ. It was a survey of the life of Jesus throughout the four Gospels. And in that book, there was an emphasis put upon this very thing. And it said that Jesus Christ is the central figure of Christianity. If you take Jesus out of what we're doing, we have nothing left but an empty shell. We have nothing more than what Jesus referred to the disciples, to the Pharisee when he was with his disciples, that told them that your full of dead men's bones. He said, you're whitened sepulchers. You've cleaned up the outside, but your inside is full of dead men's bones. I remember reading where that God began to search out for a young man by the name of David. You know the story. David was a giant killer. He slayed the giant. His name was Goliath. All of Jesse's sons came up before Samuel before he anointed him with oil. That's not him. That's not him. That's not him. Do you have any more? I have one more him. One more him's out in the desert with the sheep. Go get him. Bring him back to me. When David came into the presence of Samuel, the anointed prophet of God, he immediately, God spoke to him immediately, and he said, rise up. Take your horn of oil and anoint him. This is him. He's going to be the next king. God had rejected Saul. You know what the difference was between all them other guys that walked before Samuel and a young man by the name of David? It is something that I believe is the very thing that needs to drive Christianity. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit here this evening. When he was standing there in front of Samuel, when David was there before God allowed Samuel to anoint him with oil, there was a phrase that was mentioned there in that scripture, and it was like this. It said that man looketh on the outside, but God looketh on the heart. And one of the things I begin to think about in our world today, in our church today, and in our lives today, is a heart like his. And if God can find the heart, because he said that man looketh on the outside, but God looketh on the heart. When we begin to look at the scripture of Paul, and we begin to look at the life of Paul. I preach about the life of Paul a lot because Paul was just like you and I in a lot of ways. Paul had a lot of faults. Paul had a lot of failures. Paul had a lot of blemishes. Paul had a lot of regrets. But somehow or another, I mentioned this at my dad's funeral the other day, that Paul was caught up into the third heavens, seeing things that could not be uttered. And then he said that there was given unto him a thorn in the flesh, lest he be exalted above measure. Lest Paul be puffed up with pride. Lest Paul thinks of himself as really being something more than the rest of humanity. Isn't it amazing that God always deals with the heart? Isn't it amazing that God always deals with our attitude and our persona and how that we relate to others and how that we relate to God? The Bible talks about the heart as being one of those things that's full of evil, if you will, and one that's mischievous, if you will. That's not King James, but he says the heart is full of this evil. And really, he says, who can know it? But yet he said, if God can find the heart. I'm not talking about that pumping thing inside of your chest this evening, but I'm talking about a heart for God. I'm talking about a heart that is sold out to him. But when we look at the Apostle Paul, we look at Paul's struggle and we see what all that Paul went through. And I love the scripture that I used on Saturday because it says these very words that Satan came and Satan tried to destroy Paul. No doubt in my mind that he tried to do that. That there was a messenger of Satan that came to buffet Paul. And Paul sought God several times and asked him to remove it. And God told Paul, he said, I'm not going to remove it. You're going to learn something through this that you're going through. What am I going to learn? Paul became the great apostle Paul. But he said, if you look at that, he said, my grace is sufficient. Aren't you glad for grace tonight? I believe that Paul, first of all, when God begins to deal with a man or a woman, God will deal with our heart. When I begin to look through this scripture today, and today's been one of those days that I've tried to just get everything done that I needed to get done in one day. And sometimes it kind of piles up on me. You know what I mean? So I've struggled this evening trying to get my thoughts collected and everything put together for this message. But earlier the Lord began to deal with me with this scripture found in verse number 10. And I think this is very imperative for the church in 2023. Because when Paul exhibits all that Paul exhibited to that early church, and Paul comes back in these verses and Paul says these things to us, I think there's something here to be said, and I think there's something here to be learned. When Paul says this in verse number 10, Paul says this in these words. He says, and I'll go back and expound on some of this other stuff in just a few minutes. But Paul says that I may know him. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto resurrection of the dead. And then Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And then Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But he goes on to say, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it, even this unto you. And then he says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Verse 17 says this, brethren, be followers together of me. I know the latter part of that simply says, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and tell you, we even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. I know that's a lot of reading. When Paul begins to write this chapter here in chapter number 3, really what I believe that Paul was talking about was not only a heart after God, but when you look at the Apostle Paul and this whole scripture, Paul was just simply saying this in so many words of sharing wording that maybe not even be written in there, but I believe it's something that Paul was trying to convey to us. Living a life to know Christ. If I was going to have a title tonight, that's what it would be. Living the life to know Christ, to know Him. I believe that I'm talking to people in this room tonight that with everything and every bit of your being this evening, you want to know Jesus. Paul, again, when Paul begins to break down chapter number 3, Paul starts there in verse number 1 and he begins to talk about this and he begins to write this in a way where that he was conveying a message. And he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. Paul was writing to the church at Philippi. Paul was saying that it is important for me to write this unto you. And he says, it is not grievous for me to write this unto you, but it's for you to be safe. Now, what was Paul writing there? We see a breakdown. Now, we don't use this language in our everyday life. But Paul wrote this in verse number 2. In what as I was reading this, I looked at this as a very stern and a very, maybe not even so polite language. Because Paul says, beware of dogs. Now, why would Paul write such a word in the King James Version of the Bible? Paul, as Paul began to write this, Paul was basically writing this not only about the Jews, but again, Paul talked about idol worshipers, and Paul was talking about all of those throughout the New Testament that he wrote to young Timothy about. But primarily, Paul was talking about here to the Jews. To those, again, in the Scripture, watch this, that would take away from Christ Jesus. To, let me use the word, to dismantle the authenticity of the gospel. Now, I don't know whether you're a preacher or not. I know there's a few preachers in the house. But I'm going to flat-footedly stand here and tell you, as Paul said in Romans chapter number 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation." To the Jew first, he brought the message to the Jew and also to the Greek. But Paul, what Paul really wanted to say is simply this, that anything that I do, anything that I say, watch this, is going to be a reflection of my love and my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anything that I want to put the stake in the ground over, listen, I love you, you love me. But that don't mean that everybody loves me, and that don't mean that everybody wants to hear what I have to say. But I have flat-footedly put the stake in the ground, and Brother Steve, I've made up my mind. I shall not be moved. And I'm not just doing this tonight to be preachy. It's the thing that I pondered over for several weeks now. Again, Joshua said, as far as me and my house, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve the Lord. If there's ever been a day and an hour that we need to revisit our commitment to the love of Jesus Christ that comes forth out of our own heart, I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about going through some type of emotion. But my friend, I'm telling you that it is a commitment to the love of Jesus. I told our staff meeting last night, part of them, and I reiterated it again this afternoon, that everything we do still needs to point to Calvary. We've got to talk about Jesus. We can do everything and anything. But Paul, again, Paul was reiterating a simple fact that he is not ashamed of the gospel. And then I'll move on. He says here in verse 17 of this text, look at this. He says the next verse there, Kathy, 17. And he says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written that the just shall live by faith." Again, let me reiterate, if there's ever been a time and a day and an hour that we need to put our stake in the ground and we need to sing that little children's song, I shall not be moved. It is the day and the hour that we are living in, my friend, and I believe that with everything within me. Paul had to make, now back to our main text, Paul had to make that and establish that here. He called them dogs. Beware of those dogs. Jesus even warned about wolves in sheep's clothing. Beware of evil workers. And beware of concision, those that are cut off, if you will. That's that word. And I looked it up to make sure of what it was. And then he says in verse number 3, now watch this. "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Again, Paul reiterated that we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Now, when I read that today, I had to work on that a little bit. Because what Paul was saying there, he is not saying that we are as the Jews are in circumcision, but you and I, we have circumcised our things to cut off. We have cut off ourselves from the things of the flesh. How can any person serve two masters? Either you're going to love the one or hate the other, or you're going to despise the one and love the other. But again, let me reiterate what Paul was saying. Paul says that we are the those that have been cut off from the flesh. We are those that don't serve the flesh. Romans chapter 8, I believe it is. I'm not going to turn there. But what Paul was saying to the Romans is, I don't do the things that I want to do to appease and to satisfy the flesh. Now, I want to be like Jesus tonight. We talk about to know God. We talk about to know Him. We think about Jesus and we think about again, and I don't want to chase too many rabbits this evening, but we think about Jesus. Let me share something very shocking unto you. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We know that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He was born in the manger stable bed. That was conceived in Mary was of the Holy Ghost. We know that Joseph was told by Gabriel, fear not to take unto thee Mary to be thy wife. We just come through Christmas, and we all know that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ still walked in the flesh, being tempted at all points like you and I, yet without sin. I have a real problem with people today. I say I have a problem. That's not good terminology. It's not one of those things that I have a problem with. I'm just saying that it can be a problem for somebody, Brother Steve, if they want to still serve the things of the flesh and try to serve God at the same time. News alert, it's not going to work. And Paul made a very clear declaration over his own life. Again, as we walk down through this, all the way down through these scriptures, Paul again, he says, well, there it is again there. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Don't put any confidence in the flesh. How many of you know the flesh will always fail you? The flesh will always let you down. And Paul was saying again that we are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit. Jesus talked to the woman at the well and said, God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now here's another thing that I thought about. Now I'm going to get a little bit on the edge right here. Our worship must be worship that is done by the Spirit. Now what does that mean, preacher? I mean, I can encourage you. I can stand up here and I can say, all right, somebody raise your hand and praise the Lord. Okay, you're going to raise your hand and praise the Lord. But did you do that because I asked you to do it? Absolutely. But if you do it from that spirit man, John talks about this. Again, I'm not going to turn there and read it right now, but John 7, 37 and 38 says that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your very inner being, out of your innermost being, flows the power of the Spirit of God. And again, Paul was saying this, that I worship God in the Spirit. I think that it's time that we, as individuals, we look at our own hearts and we if we're going to be like Jesus, worship God in spirit. Let me move on quickly. And he says this in verse number 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul was saying this in a nutshell. This is what Paul was saying. If anybody's able, if anybody's qualified to do anything by the flesh, Paul would say, I'm the first one that would get in line and say, I'm qualified. And the reason that Paul was saying that was the next few verses Paul was saying. He said, this is Paul's pedigree. But Paul did not put the stock of becoming like Jesus in his pedigree. Are you with me tonight? No matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, no matter how we sign our name, no matter what signature is behind our name, your name, my name, our name, it's still not good enough to get us into heaven. Even though he was Paul, he was Saul, first of all, Saul of Tarsus, but then his name was Paul. He was turned to Paul the Apostle. But even though he was Paul the Apostle, Paul's pedigree was not enough. Think about this. His own pedigree was not enough for him to stand and to say that he was like Jesus. It took Jesus to do that in Paul's life. I'll show you that in a little bit. You already know the scripture anyway. But this is what Paul was bragging on. Verse number 5, Paul was saying, hey, here it is, circumcised on the 8th day. That was the law at the time, out of the stock of Israel. He said, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. What was Paul saying? Paul was simply saying this, you can't touch me. Paul was saying, I kept all the law. I knew the law. I practiced the law. Everything I'd done was by the law. And then Paul was saying, I've got the pedigree. He said, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrew. And is touching the law, a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee, the law keeper, and they kept it to the letter. Come on, somebody. So simply I'm saying all of that to say this, that Paul gave us a great example and taught us in this text that in all reality, no matter how much we try in this flesh, no matter what we do by the flesh, the thing that I'm trying to get to this evening, if we're going to know Jesus, we've got to know him by the Spirit. We've got to understand him by the Spirit. We've got to know him. Jesus told this young man, Nicodemus, you know the story there in John chapter number 3. He said that is flesh is flesh. When you came forth out of your mother's womb, you came out as a child. You came out a little bitty baby in the flesh. But my friend, he said, but that is Spirit is Spirit. He told Nicodemus, verily I say unto thee, you've got to be born again. You've got to experience a brand new birth to be like Jesus, to know Jesus. You've got to have an encounter with Jesus. Now, I know this evening I'm talking to mature adult worshipers that's been in church from your youth up. But my friend, I believe with everything within me, the scripture here this evening is only a reminder to you and I, if we're really going to go where God wants us to go, that it's got to be by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me tonight? It's got to be by the power and the anointing of the Spirit. I'll be the first one to stand up here behind the pulpit and simply flat-footedly tell you, I cannot do this without God, and I cannot do this without the anointing. And I'll go further to say this, wherever we go in the future, whatever God's plan is for the Thomasville Church of God, we've got to know that it's got to be by the power of the Spirit that we do that. This is a spirit walk, friend. And I feel a little crazy right now. Everything that we need to do for God may not be able to be explained by the natural, because it's not in the natural. It's by the Spirit. And you say, well, how can you say that, preacher? Take you on a journey through the New Testament. I don't care, Brother Steve, if it was a withered hand or an eye that could not see. Jesus took and put spittle in a little clay and put spit in a man's eye and he began to see. Man had a withered hand. Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. He stretched forth his hand. Woman with an issue of blood. If I could but only touch the hem of his garment, I know I can be made whole. She crawled, whatever she had to do. She got there and she knew if she touched the seat, if she touched the hem of the garment, if she touched the word of God, she said within herself, I know that I can be made whole. I don't know who's here tonight on a Wednesday night. I don't know what your need is tonight, but we've got to move beyond the realm of the flesh into the realm of the Spirit. And I believe that God can do the work that needs to be done. Jesus walked by that widow, that woman's son that day that had just lost her son, touched the bier of the coffin, the edge, the side of the coffin. Jairus' daughter, sick, 12-year-old, she's not dead. Get up, young lady. Oh, Talitha Kumai, my daughter, I say unto thee, arise. Jesus did miracles. And I know today that to be like Jesus, to know him, I don't know of anywhere in the New Testament, Brother Don, where the Bible said, gone out of business. God ain't gone out of business. God's still in business. I'll be really honest with you this evening. If there's anything we need, I think that Sunday night was just a tidbit of a taste of what God can do. A tidbit of a taste of what God can do when God's people get hungry after him. Brother Sparks, you know this scripture as well as me. And the Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I believe that Paul told these people this in this text. And Paul was saying again, when you begin to look at this in 7, moving really, really forward, verse 6, he says, concerning zeal, persecuted the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. And again, what Paul was saying, he says, I kept all the law. There's no way you can blame me. There's no way you can find any guilt in me that I did not keep the law. He was a rule keeper. He kept all the rules. He kept all the laws. He kept everything that the Pharisees supposed to do. But there's an amazing thing took place in Paul's life. I call it an amazing transformation. To know Christ, not only do we look at the scripture as we look and find in the heart, but not only the second thing is we find when we know Christ that there is an amazing transformation. One of the things that I read vaguely about today as I was just hurrying and reading and trying to get everything done that I needed to get done today, the Bible, I came across a scripture that simply said this, to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. To those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we've got to have, again, to reiterate, we've got to have this internal change. We've got to have this thing going on the inside of us. And again, Paul was saying this in this next verse. How many of you know what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says? If any man be in Christ, I just threw that one in there just then. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He said, behold, all things become new, and old things are passed away, and all things become new. I got them twisted around, but that's what he said in the scripture. Paul knew, and again, this stems out of Paul's personal encounter with Jesus. If we're going to be known of Christ, if I want to know Christ, verse says, that I may know him, God's got to find the heart. Number two is, I believe that God requires personal transformation. We're reminded of the scripture again. Now, here again, I said personal transformation. Personal transformation. It's really easy for me to get the mote, the speck of sawdust out of Russell's eye. But I've got a 2x4 out of mine. Isn't it amazing how we can look at the faults of others and find other people's faults and failures a lot quicker than we can find that of ourselves? By that, I simply mean Paul recognized and he knew that the things that Paul must do required an internal change. Again, think about Paul. Think about what Paul done. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. And he done all of this, but yet it took Paul with an encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Again, where I was thinking about that again, where Paul began to cry out. You know the story. I'm not going to turn there and read it right now. But when Jesus showed up, I want to be like Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to know who Jesus is. And I believe that's the cry of the people of God today. I want to know you more, Lord. And when Paul came off of his donkey and he hit the ground, and Paul's words, I think it's Acts chapter 9, around verse number 5, along through there, he looked up into the heavens, and Paul says these amazing words. Who art thou, Lord? Oh, my friend, who art thou, Lord? Paul's encounter when Paul was on the road to Damascus, it done something on the inside of him. Oh, that man that had the papers going up to Damascus, and all of a sudden he finds himself on his knees or on his back or whatever the case might have been, and he looked up and he seen Jesus, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord spoke to him and he said, I am Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me when we know that we can call on him and we can turn our lives over to him and we can seek him. And my friend, seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with all of your heart. That's my verse of Jeremiah 29 and 13. But that's an amazing thing. If I want to know Christ, a personal transformation. And that other was free because I didn't think about all that until just then. is a personal transformation is one that seeks God fervently. Paul was writing this and he says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Here's the question with this verse. Put your seatbelt on, it's going to be a big one. Y'all ready? I got mine on. I just buckled in. What are we as a church? What are we as a people? Watch this. This is very important. What are you holding on to that's keeping you, keeping us from becoming all that God wants us to be? What things were gained to me? Paul was saying, oh, the things I could have held on to as a Pharisee, those things I could have held on to as a Jew, all of those things that I had been trained in. Paul said, all of those things came crumbling down when I met Jesus. All of those crutches and all those things, and I'm going to stretch it out here and I'm going to go ahead and say it. All of those traditions that we've held on to. Tradition by itself is not a bad thing. But when you make tradition more important than the Holy Ghost, we got problems. Sometimes, like I said a few days ago, sometimes we've got to change. And sometimes I get stuck in my way. Sometimes I get comfortable in my way. And God's trying to get me out of the way. Because he said, I am the way. And if I can just be, my God, I feel him. If I can just be what Jesus wants me to be. Paul said, I counted all of those things as loss. Don't make no difference what yesterday was. Thank God for our heritage. Thank God for what was. And thank God for where we've been. Thank God for what God's done. Thank God he's brought us through. But my friend, I'm not saying those things were wrong or bad. But just think of it like this. If we can let go of what was to get what is. My God, have mercy. Isn't it going to be amazing what God is getting ready to do in your life, in my life? Paul said, hey, those things that God has for me are more, far more important than those things that I used to cling to. I'm not talking about the memories of our past. I'm not talking about good memories and things that's got us to the point that we are. But my friend, let us not build a memorial or a monument on yesterday that will turn into a mortuary that'll lead us to a museum. But my God, let us get a hold of the fire of God today and let the Spirit of God lead us into the future that we can get a hold of what God wants to do. I want to know him. I don't know about you, but I want to know him. I want to know him in a new way, in a real way. I need it. I don't know about you, but I need it. I need it. I need it. I need it. I've kicked this can long enough. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I need a refreshing from on high. The Bible reminds us of that in Acts chapter 3 and 19 teaches us to repent ye therefore. And the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Oh, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the only way for you and I to be refreshed is by his presence. Paul said, I counted them as lost. Don't even matter. I'm going to say it again before I move on. What could possibly you be holding on to that's keeping you and me and the church from moving forward and doing what God wants us to do today? Anybody ever remodeled a car? Anybody ever restored a car? Anybody ever remodeled a home? Anybody ever restored a home? I've not remodeled or restored hardly anything. And let me just say this before I move on. Back about 6 months or so ago, some of you seen my little brag sheet. I was proud of it. Brother Ken Slate, he's not here tonight, but he brought me a birdhouse. A Martin colony, if you will, about 12 different sections in it. He had had it in his yard for years, broke down, rotted out. It was eat up with those little bug things that has the little pinchers on it, those earwigs. It had earwigs in it. It'd been out in the weather and it had been in bad shape. He brought it to me. Can you do anything with this? I don't know. I ain't never done nothing like that before. Hey, Brother Russell, you've seen it. I took that thing back to him and it looked like a brand new showpiece in my eyes, maybe not yours. looked like there'd never been anything wrong with it. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God's going to sweep through this place. And I'm not saying that we've done bad. That's not what I'm saying. That is not what I'm saying. But I think that God wants to do a restoration work in us. Because we're living in a different day. 3 years ago, we never heard of COVID. 3 years ago, we never heard of the stuff that's giving people paranoia today. And I'm not saying that it's not a real thing, but here's the thing, my friend. We can stay captive to that thing, or we can move into the future. We can still kick the ends of that rut out, if you will, and we can understand that God is for us. And again, Paul realized that. And Paul was saying in the scripture, you know this as well as me, when you look at it, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. God was saying it's an enabling power. Paul was saying he's working through us for his glory, for his perfect will to be performed. Again, when we look further in this, we can understand that Paul also acknowledged in Titus 3, 5 through 7, that it was the enabling power of God that was doing this. And my friend, let me reiterate this, and I'll go back in Titus chapter 3, verse 5 in just a moment. But I want you to think and think hard on this Wednesday night. Not only where we want to go, not only in what we want to see God do in our midst. I know I want to see families restored back at the first of the year, and it's still the first of the year, but the end of December, one of the things in the Sunday school lessons has been talking about it. If there's anything that I believe that God wants to do is restore families. I believe that God wants to restore families and children and youth and young people and put moms and dads back together again. And I'll go as far as to say this. I believe that one of the things we do need to cling to is from the past is when moms and dads and children were able to sit on the pew together. You just don't see that much anymore. And I'll leave that for another time. Titus chapter number 3, Paul was saying this in verse number 5, not by works of righteousness that which he has done or which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. If we're going to move and if we're going to be all, and if we're going to know Christ the way that Paul emphasized to know Jesus, we got to be renewed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know about you, but I need it daily. I admit some days are just harder than others. Hello? Some days are just more difficult than others. What's today? Wednesday? Well, yeah, we're in church, Alan. Monday, for the benefit of the record, I called both of my sisters and texted both of my sisters, and both of them felt just like I did, my sisters. Sort of just numb, sort of just melancholy. Didn't want to do much. My mind wasn't in nothing. Sunday night, I was not in it. My mind was somewhere else. I was here in body, but I don't know if I was here any other way. But Brother Steve, I felt God today, yesterday, Tuesday. And Sister Betty, I felt him beginning to renew me. I don't have time for the eagle story, but you look up an eagle story, sometimes there's a time when the eagle goes high up on the cliff and he goes into the molting season. Feathers come out. He even picks out his own feathers. And there was a time that eagle sets up there and he just isolates himself and he just begins to go through the molting process. For those of you that is an animalologist, that's a word I just made up. If you work in the zoo, you can tell me more about eagles. But there comes a time when the eagles feathers begin to be restored. And then all of a sudden you look up into the sky. I shall mount up with wings like eagles. As far as Isaiah, I shall run and not be weary. I shall walk and not faint. That's where we're at. A couple of more things Paul was able to say in the scripture. He says in this text, and I'll leave the rest of Titus alone for right now. verse 8, I'm going to go really, really fast down through here. He says, yea, doubtless I counted all things but loss. Why? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul said the only thing that really mattered, well, listen, church, is that we knew him, that we know him, that we know him. Look at your neighbor and say, get to know him. Say it again to him and mean it. Get to know him. My God, if there's anything we need to do in the day and the hour we're living in is we got to know Jesus. We got to get to know Jesus again. Paul said that. All these things that I count as loss. He said here in verse number 8 and following, he said, the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Wow. We say we want to know him. It's not that you're going to lose your things. Some people may, but I don't know that that's what God's talking about. I suffer the loss of all things. Let me say it like this. You just come to a place, Brother Russell, you know this. The things don't matter anymore. It's stuff. And the only thing that really matters is knowing him. What is a man going to gain if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? It's just stuff. The main thing that we need to worry about is knowing him. Paul said, I want to know him. I've come to the conclusion in my life. I need a home. I need a car. I need food. I need clothing. Friends, etc. But there's a whole lot of stuff I don't need. I still believe in living a very simple life. I just choose to keep it simple. Keep it simple. Again, I think it's me and you talking. It's not wrong to have stuff, but it might be wrong if stuff has you. And if you have all the stuff and you don't make room for Jesus, is what Paul was saying. I suffered loss of all things and do count them as dung. They're nothing. That I may win Christ. That I might keep Christ the center focal point of my life. Oh, I don't even want to say this. What one thing would you have to get rid of in order for you to be where you need to be with God? What would it be? What is it that's holding you back? What one thing is like a weight? I didn't say sin. It's a weight. Laying aside those sins and those weights that so easily beset us. What is that one thing that keeps holding you back? Paul was saying, I'm not going to let nothing hold me back. I'm going to be all that I can be for Christ. Now watch this. Stand with me. He says about five things, and I actually wrote them out. I'm not going to turn there because I'll say too long. Paul said, first of all, verse number 10, that I may know him. Paul said, I want to know him. That's the first priority that Paul says. Number two, he says, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I want to be filled with power. I want to know him. I want to be filled with dunamis, that enabling power of God. Number three is, I want to experience the new birth by the resurrection. I've got to know what the resurrection means to me before I can tell it to somebody else. The next thing is the fellowship of his suffering. Now that's one of those things we don't like to talk about. That word fellowship is a word that means communion. Jesus told those disciples, if any man follow me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Jesus told those disciples to leave their fishing net and follow him. That's what Paul was talking about. He says again, the fellowship of his suffering. Sometimes it's not comfortable to be a Christian. Hello? Sometimes it's not easy to be a Christian. Y'all ready? But it's worth it. It's worth it. Renewal is worth it. A rededication is worth it. Laying aside things is worth it. Giving God our heart in a fresh new way is worth it. Then he said that once we get to this place, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, that I might be conformable into his death. That don't mean you're going to die physical by crucifixion. But Paul did say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul did say again that as we look at the scripture, Jesus did say that he that finds his life will lose it, and he that loses his life will find it. What are you saying? Do you mean I'm going to be a martyr? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if we hold on to everything here and we miss heaven, what have we gained? And then he says, conformable. The Bible reminds us, and you know the scripture, you don't need to necessarily turn there. But it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12 and 1. And then he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's as far as I'm going. I could talk about that in a few minutes. Because again, Paul talks about this. We use it a lot at funerals. That those that are in the grave, my friend, we either alive or not going to stop them from resurrecting on resurrection day. For the Bible said that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then he says at the latter part of those scriptures, he says, so shall we forever be with the Lord, or ever be with the Lord. And then he says, I think it's along verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Look at your neighbor right now, square in the eyeball, and say, we've got to make it. We may have a few battles in this life. We may have a few scars. But friend, we've got to know him. There's so much more I could talk about here. So much more that I could talk about. But I want to know him, don't you? I want a fresh touch from God. I want a fresh revelation of Jesus. Lord, I got to know you tonight. Let's just talk to him about that for a minute. If you want to know him in a living way, a fresh way, why don't you just tell him, Father? Paul said in verse number 10, living this life that I may know him, that I may know Jesus, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. God, search our hearts tonight and know our hearts. Lord, I know there's some things that we all must go through. But yet, God, I know without shadow of a doubt that, God, that you still have a plan for every man, woman, boy, and girl that's in this room. And God, I hear breakthrough in my heart tonight. I hear breakthrough. I actually, God, in my spirit, I feel like the footman or a foot. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let the worshipers arise in the day and the hour that we're living in. Lord, let us not go the way of others. Let us not go the way of the world, if you will. And God, let your Holy Spirit fill every heart and every life. God, I want to know you, Jesus. Lord, live that life that I might know him. Father, touch every person under the sound of my voice. Give us grace and help in time of need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I hope that something was said this evening that would encourage you on your journey. That I may know him. How many of you want to know him? I want to know him tonight. Go out of here blessed in Jesus' name. We'll see you a little bit later on. Have a great week. Pray for your church. Pray for your family and